Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I mentioned in my bulletin notes, Lent is a time for reflection, a time for taking stock of your own life and where you are going. At a Vision Lead team meeting over a month ago, a seed was planted. What about doing a series of messages on Appleby's mission statement during Lent? It was a great idea to increase the profile of the vision and mission statement in the church and in our lives. And if you look at the screen or in the bulletin on the second last page, you will see Appleby's vision: planting seeds by nurturing faith, hope, compassion, and justice. And how do we do that? Through our mission statement. Walking with Jesus, we comfort the sick, we feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, engage others in conversation about God, seek justice and resist evil, and gather to worship God. And today we're starting at the beginning, we comfort the sick. If there are three things that people might agree about Jesus were summarized at the beginning of our passage from Matthew today. Jesus went all over Galilee teaching in the synagogues. Number one, Jesus was known as a great teacher. Known as a great what?
Teacher.
A great teacher, thank you. Preaching about the good news about the kingdom. Secondly, Jesus constantly talked about the kingdom of God. Or in Matthew's gospel, he often says the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to know why? Being an observant Jew, the word God was too holy to write or even say. In the Old Testament, the name for Yahweh was taken out, and any time you look and see Lord in capital letters, that's where the Hebrew word Yahweh was, which was the name that was given out of the burning bush with Moses. And then finally, and healing people with all kinds of disease and sickness. Three, Jesus was a great healer. So Jesus was a great teacher, talked about the kingdom constantly, and a great healer. Now the news about Jesus spread through the whole country of Syria so that people brought to him all who were sick, suffering from all kinds of diseases and disorders, and Jesus healed them. Wow. Healed them all, actually. What a statement. Jesus healed them all. Amazing. Now, since the Enlightenment, miracles have been a controversial element in the gospel stories. Anyone here ever heard of Thomas Jefferson? You've heard his name, thank you, mentioned occasionally. He edited a version of the Gospels that eliminated all the miraculous events and all the miracle stories and kept only the teaching elements. It was quite an abbreviated gospel. Historically speaking, there can be no doubt that Jesus went about healing and working marvels that astonished people, even though it may not be clear exactly what happened in every case. Now, if you read the Bible, it is rather concerned that miracles do not become a substitute for faith, that a miracle faith is regarded as inadequate but often necessary, the starting point to be transcended as quickly as possible. In his ministry as healer savior, we might say Jesus used miracles as an attention-getting device to draw the crowds as an expression of God's love, compassion, and power to save his people. But maybe the best expression in John's gospel is in John's gospel, where after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he says to the crowds, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles or what they were pointing to. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternal life." So the miracles weren't the main point. And just as in Bible times, so today, some are interested in charismatic healings and healing shrines like Lourdes in France, and others are not. But to all, miracles are useful in showing that reality is not statically fixed or irreformable, but everything is open to the mystery, wonder, awe, and transforming power of God. Even today, there are some healings or cures that confound doctors, though they are the rare exception to the rule. One can never know what the role of prayer and faith can play. Now, most of us here are not doctors or nurses, chiropractors, nurse practitioners, lab technicians, physiotherapists, psychotherapists, or all the other large realm of healthcare professionals that play a huge role in healing people of their diseases and restoring them to health and wholeness today. But we still have a huge role to play in the healing ministry of the church or of comforting the sick. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Actions speak louder than words"? Thank you. So sandwiched between our two passages of scripture today was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It is probably the largest section of teaching in any of the Gospels. And immediately afterwards, Jesus heals three people. Actions speak. Thank you. Now, I've always loved this first healing story. When Jesus comes down the hill, large crowds follow him. Then a man suffering from a dreaded skin disease came up to him, knelt down before him, and said, "Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean." Notice Jesus' response. Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do want to." Jesus answered, "Be clean." Notice the subtlety in Jesus' response. He reached out his hand, touched him. How many of you, in an act of caring or empathy, have reached out and put your hand on someone's shoulder or on their hand? Please notice here, Jesus is reaching across social and religious taboos to show the depth of God's love and compassion for this man. He reached out and touched a ritually unclean person. If you had a skin disease, you were considered unclean. You had to walk on the other side of the road. You had to live on the other side of town. You were permanently quarantined. It was their way of trying to prevent the spread of disease, which we're quite aware of during the coronavirus. That is why Jesus immediately sends him off to the priest so that he can be officially declared clean and restored back to community. He can now interact with others. "I want to." I absolutely love those words. Can you say them with me, please? "I want to." Thank you. That's a stressing God's blessing. Jesus desires God's blessing, health, and wholeness for each and every one of us. "I want to." And I consider that incredibly good news. Now, in these three healing stories that follow, please notice in the first two, the person asks for Jesus for healing. The man suffering from this skin disease, "Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean." The Roman officer, "Sir, my servant is sick, in bed at home, unable to move and suffering terribly." In the third healing, no request is made. Jesus noticed Peter's mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever, reaches out and touches her hand, and the fever leaves her. Part of our role as followers of Jesus is noticing people in distress and being open to reaching out and talking to them. Harold Kushner makes a wonderful statement. He says, "Human beings are God's love language. When you are hurt by life and cry out in pain and suffering, God responds through good and caring people. The doctors and nurses and all the health professions who care for you or your loved one, friends and neighbors who drop by and ask if there's anything they can do to help, sometimes drop by with casseroles and other things. The most common refrain I hear in times of crisis by friends is neighbors, 'I don't know what to say.' And I love Harold's advice. You know someone going through a hard time, don't wait for your friend to pawn their dignity and ask you for help. You reach out to them, you go and ask them and be with them. You don't know what to say, let me give you a little course. Say, 'I'm so sorry this has happened and I feel terrible for you.' And then he says, be quiet. Just simply sit and listen. Cry with them. Give them a hug if they are comfortable with it." How did Harold get so smart? He says, "I went to the home of parents whose child had died tragically. They asked why God allowed this to happen." And in his mind, Harold says, "Well, here, that's good. I can do something about this. I know about God. I have a PhD in theology." And so I gave them a 10-minute explanation of my Theology 101 course and watched their eyes glaze over. And then he said, "I know that's a little technical. It's hard to get the first time around. Would you like me to say it again?" And you know what they said? "No, Rabbi, we have suffered enough." You know? Wonderful. He learned over time, people want consolation, not explanation. "Why me" is not a question, it's a cry of pain. And you ease that pain by being there. And if you stay away because you are uncomfortable or you don't know what to say, you do the worst thing possible. You leave them to cry alone, and no one deserves that. A grad student did a study. Harold says it's amazing the things you can get a PhD for these days. The study was to see how long you can keep a bare foot in a bucket of ice-cold water. You can try it when you go home if you want. You know, get your ice cubes out, you know. Do you know that if there's someone else in the room with you, sitting with you, you can keep that foot in the bucket of ice-cold water twice as long? So that when you do reach out and go and sit with someone, cry with someone, you are helping them to endure. When you invite someone into your life in the midst of pain, you can endure twice as much. Isn't that amazing? Walking with Jesus, we comfort the sick. When you reach out and touch someone or talk with someone, be available to someone, sit with someone who is ill or suffering, you cannot heal them as Jesus did, but you can certainly help ease their pain. By reaching out and being with them, being willing to cry with them, you are letting them know they are not alone and that someone cares. And that is an incredible ministry indeed. one that we can all do and is so incredibly important. Dave McKenzie knew I was talking on walking with Jesus, comforting the sick today. So late Saturday afternoon, this appeared in my email box. It is a note of thanks to Appleby for the prayers for their grandson Jacob to be used at my discretion. And I thought it was appropriate at the end of today's message. A sick boy comforted. 1 year ago, our then 16-year-old grandson Jacob was diagnosed with osteosarcoma in his left pelvis. After 8 months of chemotherapy, 3 surgeries, and 9 weeks of intensive psychotherapy, Jacob has been cleared to restart his life in any way he wants. He is back to school full-time and actively participating with the Burlington Teen Tour Band and looking forward to the band's tour in Myrtle Beach during the March break, which I think is a week from now. It's next week. Jacob will still have many challenges ahead as he works hard to regain full mobility, but the latest scans show him to be free of any cancer. The people of Appleby prayed for Jacob, his family, and the oncology teams continuously through this very difficult year. As he progressed through the myriad of medical procedures and treatments, we know that God was hearing those prayers. Thank you, Appleby, for your prayers of comfort have been answered. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is in the soft-covered Voices United hymn book, number 182, Stay With Me Through the Night. While this hymn was inspired by the end of the Emmaus Road story, when discouraged disciples invited the stranger to stay with them at the end of day, I think its words are very appropriate at the end of this message. Number 182, Stay With Us.